And this morning we continue in our series in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Our reading is from chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, where Luke recorded these words of praise lifted up by Mary, the mother of our Lord. Luke recorded these words of life. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her home. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Holy Spirit of the living God, as we ponder this good news, we pray that you would grant us in this very place to magnify you and rejoice in you, God our Savior, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, last week we considered from our study of Luke's gospel two significant events that were unfolding for our redemption as relayed to us by St. Luke. First, the Annunciation, and second, the Visitation. The Annunciation, that announcement by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. And then the Visitation, when Mary visited her aged relative Elizabeth, wife of Zechariah, with whom she had conceived a son named John, this baby that was growing within her, with whom she had been pregnant now for 6 months. And when Mary entered Elizabeth's home, John leaped for joy in the womb of his mother and in the presence of his Lord. And Elizabeth declared what has been called the Song of Elizabeth: "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." What Mary said next is our passage this morning, a song of praise that has been read and sung and chanted throughout the generations of the church ever since. Her prophecy in verse 48, that from now on all generations will call me blessed, has certainly been fulfilled. And we fulfill it this morning as we ponder her words and as we seek to follow in her faithful, worshipful footsteps. So let's consider three facets of Mary's song under three headings this morning. First, magnification. Second, salvation. And third, proclamation. First, magnification. Mary's song of praise is the first of three canticles or songs celebrating God's deeds of deliverance here in the first two chapters of Luke. These canticles are Mary's Magnificat, Zechariah's Benedictus, and Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. We'll consider those, Lord willing, in future weeks. But first, today, Mary's Magnificat, that title coming from the first word of the Latin translation of verse 46, which comes into English as magnifies. In response to the good news that she would bear the Savior of the world, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It could be translated, "My soul declares the greatness of the Lord," or "celebrates the Lord," "makes much of the Lord," or "glorifies the Lord." And what I want to point out this morning about Mary's magnification of the Lord is that Mary must have been tempted in these moments, this juncture in her young life, to magnify many other things that were going through her mind and going on in her life. The challenges that she was facing, the challenges that she would potentially continue to face, the questions that would be raised, the gossip that would be whispered. What would her parents say? How would Joseph respond? What would they say in the neighborhood and at the synagogue? Would she be cast out from their midst? Would she be disowned, shunned by her people? Would she even be executed by stoning because she was presumed to have been unchaste? Hard to imagine all the anxieties that would have been swirling in this young woman's mind. But what did Mary do? What did Mary do? Mary made a choice. Mary made a choice. With dependence upon God's Holy Spirit, Mary chose to focus her mind on God and His Word to her and her relationship with Him. She chose to magnify Him rather than the opinions of others or the fears that crept into her mind. She made a choice to make much of God, whose word she had received and in whose favor she rested. The Magnificat shows what kind of young woman Mary was. She was a woman of God, and thus she was a woman of the Word of God. Our call to worship was from Psalm 34, which begins, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Mary's Magnificat reflects the fact that she knew that psalm, sang that psalm, loved that psalm, and like her ancestor David, who wrote that psalm, she was doggedly determined, no matter what was going on in her life, to be a worshiper rather than a whiner. She knew the victory of the saints who had gone before her. The Magnificat reflected other psalms, like Psalm 103, which begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You see, sometimes you got to preach to your own soul, don't you? Come on, soul. Don't magnify these other things. Don't allow them to steal your joy. Don't allow them to derail your worship, your service for the Lord. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And let all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Soul, don't have spiritual amnesia. Remember the goodness of the Lord, His manifold favor towards you. And our Old Testament lesson, which Michael read this morning, was from Hannah's canticle in 1 Samuel 2, where her heart exulted in the Lord, celebrated the gift of her son Samuel, and rejoiced in the God of her salvation. Mary's song echoes Hannah's song in so many ways. The bringing down of the proud, the lifting up of the humble, the deliverance of God's people, Mary knew that song, loved that song, and echoed that song here as the Spirit moved within her heart. She was a young woman of the Word. And she is a wonderful example of focusing one's mind on the Word rather than the what-ifs and what-might-be's of life and the opinions of others who, remember, did not make you, do not sustain you, and do not save you. She resolutely refused to magnify in her mind the impending whispers, accusations, slander, and there would be much slander about her and her son, spoken and written in her lifetime and in the centuries to come, of course, the rudeness that would come her way, the scowls, clucking tongues, and cold shoulders, the scorn of religious men and the gossip of old biddies. She refused to take the bait. She refused. She refused to allow the impending disdain of others interfere with her worship of God or steal her joy in Him. Commenting on this verse, John Calvin said, "Anxieties lock up the soul and restrain the tongue from celebrating the goodness of God. But when the soul of Mary exulted with joy in the Lord, her heart and her lips broke out in praising God." Friends, we think of Mary as meek and mild, and she certainly was that. But listen, Mary was feisty. There was a sanctified feistiness about this young woman. She's what we would call in the South a steel magnolia. There's a steeliness to this young woman. A steely resolve to worship God, to magnify His name. She was feistily focused on her son. Feistily focused on her fellowship with God. She wasn't going to let anybody interrupt that. And on rejoicing in Him, doggedly determined to be a magnifier of God. The Magnificat calls us to ask ourselves, what am I magnifying in my life? What am I giving my attention to? What am I giving oxygen to? What am I allowing to consume my thoughts and my minds? The Magnificat calls us, like Mary, to magnify the Lord with all our soul. First, magnification. Second, salvation. Salvation. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary was glorifying and enjoying God, and thus she's been called a shorter catechism girl. Here we have another Presbyterian in Luke's gospel. Mary specifically enjoyed God as her Savior. She rejoiced in God as her Savior. The word Savior is almost always used in the New Testament with reference to Jesus. Certainly in the writings of Luke, it is used with reference to Jesus and the eternal salvation that God's people have through Him. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, for example, on that first Christmas day, the angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? "A Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And in Acts 13, 23, Luke records the words of St. Paul, where he declared, "Of David's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior." Who's this Savior? Jesus, as He promised. So ultimately here, Mary was rejoicing in Jesus, whose name means salvation is of the Lord, or the Lord saves. She's rejoicing here in the offspring of David born through her, the Savior who would be born to her. on Christmas Day. Mary, like all the children of Israel, and like you and me, needed a Savior. A Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus. So named because he would save his people from their sins. Mary knew that she needed salvation for herself. And thus she praised God that in his infinite greatness, he had condescended to her in her lowly estate. And bless her with the unique privilege of being the mother of her Savior. She said in verses 54 and 55, God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Mary embodied, she personified the hope of Israel for their Savior. And she rejoiced that that Savior had come. She marveled that he was being fearfully and wonderfully made, knitted together inside her. Her spirit overflowed with rejoicing in her Son and Savior. Is your spirit anything like that today? Is it overflowing with joy in Mary's Son, your Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord? Magnification, salvation, and third, proclamation. Mary proclaimed in verse 50 the good news of salvation in her Son. What did she say? And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Not just for me, not just for Israel in my day, not just for the saints who were looking forward with great expectation and longing for the coming of the Messiah, but everyone from generation to generation. Everyone means all the peoples of the earth, all the nations, anyone who fears the Lord. Mary was telling us in no uncertain terms that salvation is free and salvation is for anyone who will humble themselves before God. What did Mary mean exactly when she spoke of fearing the Lord? This is very important that we understand what she meant here, what she didn't mean. What she certainly didn't mean is being scared of him. That's a caricature of what Mary was talking about, as if God's some monster under your bed seeking to come out and scare you, seeking to frighten you, who's out to get you. Regarding that kind of fear, that kind of slavish fear, God repeatedly says in his word, do not fear. Do not fear. What did Christ say about himself? The Son of Man came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world, that he came into the world, that the world through him might be saved. God has come to you in Christ not to frighten you, but to save you. To call you unto himself, that you might find salvation in him. Why do you think he was born as a baby? Why do you think he came as a baby? It's to show you the fear of the Lord really is. It's not being scared of him because he's out to get you. It's not running away from him because you are scared. It's coming to him because you've become convinced through the gift of his Son that he loves you. It's humbling yourself before him and trusting his grace revealed to you in his Son. It's calling on the Heavenly Father, confessing your sins to him, receiving his gracious Son by faith, bowing to his lordship, and yielding to the will of his Spirit in your life. Mary said that God's mercy is for such people. Not for the proud, not for those who think themselves righteous. That's not who Jesus came to save. He came to save sinners, those who acknowledge that they are sinners. That's who he came to save. And she described how this has worked out in human history. She said, beginning in verse 51, God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Mary, exhibit A of that. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. God had done this through the Exodus, when he heard the groans of his people in Egypt and brought judgment upon their oppressors, high and mighty Pharaoh and his armies, and when he brought his people out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. But the Exodus then foreshadowed the greater Exodus through Jesus. Through Christ, humble sinners are saved. And the proud, like the scribes and Pharisees, who think that they are righteous in themselves, they are brought low. As Jesus himself said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, Mary modeled this humility, and she proclaimed it for you and me to hear today, for every generation that came after her. May we follow in her footsteps by faith. May we magnify our God. May we rejoice in Jesus, our Savior. And by the Spirit's grace, especially in this special season, may we proclaim to our needy world in love, in word, and in deed that his mercy is for all who fear him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.